With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The trial of Ashley Benefield, it is coming up very soon. This is known as the Black Swan murder trial. She was the ballerina who, after 13 days of meeting Doug Benefield, who's about 30 years her senior, they got married. They thought 13 days in, great idea. And well, they were together for a couple of years. It seemed to be working somewhat. She got pregnant. And well, shortly after that, the relationship, according to her, started going downhill. She makes claims of abuse, of attempted poisoning, of threats that Doug made, of how he knows how to kill people through poisoning and other things, all of which were found to be not legit by a court when she was trying to have the case dismissed and through some custody hearings. And she doesn't want any of that brought into the trial. But I believe the court said something to the effect of there isn't one scintilla of truth or evidence to what your claims are. And there really isn't. There's even been an interview I saw recently with a friend of Doug who was in the military with him. The claims that she makes that he was talking about how he killed people, he wasn't in that role. He was working behind the scenes on technical projects. So whether he said those things to her or not, you know, to make her impressed, I don't know, but it certainly wasn't reality if he did say those things. Or was it just a big story that was made up that Ashley Benefield thought, if I say this, I can have the kid, and he goes away. And those didn't work. He kept fighting for the kid. He ends up dead after being shot by him, claiming self-defense. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. It's a tricky one. This is one of those, in one state, if you were to argue stand your ground, probably get off. In other states, not so much. What's your thoughts on this one going in and the fact that a court has already said, we don't believe your story?
Yeah, that definitely undermines her her credibility. And you know me, Tony, because we cover so many cases that have to do with women that have been victimized. My own confirmation bias is generally leans towards the women victim that are claiming victimhood in this. But sure, when you look at the data points, when you look at the lower court, you know, the family court, and you look at the no scintilla of evidence of anything she's claiming, the data is not backing up her claims whatsoever. You look at the child custody issues, and as we've seen so many times, it either manifests in a spouse killing another spouse or a hitman being hired, that we've seen many times also. And then we start seeing, so I'm doing my research for us today, and I see just, you don't get a lot sometimes, but these little data points that paint a picture of Doug as, you know, his first wife died and his daughter has said good things about him. That to me is a very powerful thing that will undermine a thought of abuse, because daughters that have been around abuse, if there is abuse, generally don't say good things about their dads. You know, if in other words, abuse doesn't just start happening. If he was abusing Ashley as she's claiming, it won't be the first time in his life he's abusing a woman.
Sure,
it would have been. it would have been his first wife. And if that was the case, the daughter would have seen, been witness to, rumor of, and so you wouldn't have her speaking so positively, most likely. Again, I'm broad swaths here, but most likely not speaking well of the daughter. So that, to me, that was a good data point. The other thing that I cannot find it, and you might have the info because you do a much better, deeper dive than me. I can't find out how she became, how she got this gun. Where did this gun come from?
That I do not know the answer to. But apparently there had been firearms in the house. She had made a claim, and this is another interesting data point on this. In sworn testimony, she had made a claim that he pulled a gun on her from his boot and threatened her at a different point in time. In a later testimony that she gave, came from the waistband. But she's claiming she saw. The question was basically, so you saw him take it from his, you think you saw him or what? I saw him take it from his boot. That's like interesting because you just said it was in his waistband in this other testimony. Oh, I'm sorry, it was the waistband.
Mm-hmm.
I get, memories can be clouded, especially in traumatic situations. But this one, it smells. I mean, I'm about believing victims, but I'm not about blindly believing people who claim they are victims. We got to look at the facts and make sure that these stories add up because people lie. Women can lie. Men can lie. Anyone can lie for the benefit of whatever their goal ultimately is. And when it comes to child custody, it gets really messy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And people go to ends of the earth to make shit up to get their way. This is feeling more like that, but I certainly do want to hear any arguments. So I come out on the Benefield side, but the arguments we have heard, they all smell, and the courts have said the same thing.
You know, and it's sad to say, but the one thing that another little data point that was interesting to me, and because of my background, probably of listening to and we both examined a lot of 911 calls. The fact that she didn't make the 911 call, but had the neighbor make the 911 call, I don't give her a lot of credibility, a lot of credit necessarily because of her lack of experience and probably killing someone. But if you're going to try to cover your tracks, the best thing to do is have someone else make that 911 call, mm-hmm. because you will have a lot of bad leakage on yourself if you're actually the murderer if you actually make that 911 call, because 911 calls are used against the person making them in a lot of cases. A lot of times the person making the 911 call in a murder case is the one who actually committed the murder. A lot of data leakage in there. So the fact that the neighbor made the call, mm-hmm. granted, the likelihood and probability she consciously did that again is probably low, but it struck me as like, that was a good move.
It was. It does strike me as being a bit planned, honestly. I mean, she's claiming that she was being abused. It's claiming that she, he was attacking her. There's no evidence of there was a couple scratches on her corner, which honestly looked like they came from a side of a box, when packing. I've moved God knows how many times. And you move around, you got boxes stacked. And if you're around, it's easy to get scratched by a box. And that's really what it looks. It does not look like any sort. It does not look like a hand. It doesn't look like a bruise. It doesn't look like anything that would be evident of some sort of abuse. And I'm not saying that couldn't have happened, but I'm saying the evidence is not there for what she's claiming had taken place. They did examine her and they didn't find bruises. They didn't find any evidence. Just those couple scratches. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't add up. And then running to the neighbor, having the neighbor make the call, I could see that, let's make this really dramatic. Let's get a neighbor involved. Let's add this other element to it to be the victim here. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's so many elements of this that just don't seem to add up. I'm not willing to say that she's innocent or guilty yet. I want to hear it in court. But if we're just looking at the pieces that exist right now, this one's not very consistent.
I'm going to, every now and then I come up with a phrase for you. This
Let's go for it.
I'm going to, this one, we've got a lot of data gaps.
We do. A lot of data gaps. The data gap trial of Ashley Benefield. We will see as this gets underway later this month.
You bet.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.